Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Better than 911. I trust you're all familiar with the 911 system that's implemented in our country. It has been a blessing to many people. Just for fun, a little bit of history. Let me read to you. The three-digit telephone number 911 has been designated as the universal emergency number for citizens throughout the United States to request emergency assistance. It is intended as a nationwide telephone number and gives the public fast and easy access to a public safety answering point. In the United States, the first catalyst for a national emergency telephone number was in 1957 when the National Association of Fire Chiefs recommended use of a single number for reporting fires. In 1967, the President's Commission of Law Enforcement and Administration of Justice recommended that a single number should be established nationwide for reporting emergency situations. The use of different telephone numbers for each type of emergency was determined to be contrary to the purpose of a single universal number. Other federal agencies and various government officials also supported and encouraged the recommendation. As a result of the immense interest in the issue, the President's Commission on Civil Disorders turned to the Federal Communication Commission for a solution, and in November of 1967, the FCC met with the American Telephone and Telegraph Company, AT&T, to find a means of establishing a universal emergency number that could implement it quickly. In 1968, AT&T announced that it would establish the digits 911 as the emergency code throughout the United States. They chose 911 because it best fit the needs of all parties involved. First and most important, it met public requirements because it is brief, easily remembered, and can be dialed quickly. Second, it is a unique number, never having been authorized as an office code, area code, or service code. It best met the long-range numbering plans and switching configurations of the telephone industry. And a couple interesting facts about this. The world's oldest emergency phone number is from the United Kingdom. 999 was introduced in June 30th of 1937. It was implemented after a call to the fire brigade was held in the queue with the telephone company. The delay cost five women their lives in the fire. The first arrest due to an emergency call happened on July 8, 1937 at 4:20 in the morning when the wife of John Stanley Beard dialed 999 to report a burglar outside her home in England. The burglar, 24-year-old Thomas Duffy's, was arrested. How would you like to be known for the first one to get arrested by the system? It's a dubious honor. The first ever 911 call in the United States happened on February 16, 1968, in Haleyville, Alabama. Known as the city where 911 began, Haleyville, Alabama holds a 911 festival every year that honors all police, fire, and emergency personnel. And the first phone used to answer the first 911 call in the United States is in a museum in Haleyville, Alabama. And a duplicate is still used by the police station. You have to wonder if it's two pieces, you know. 911 is a blessing. Probably many in this room have used 911. But even as wonderful it is, there are some problems with 911. A lady once had fallen and was knocked unconscious. Her husband called 911. The operator said, "Where are you at?" He said, "231 Chrysanthemum Street." She said, "Can you spell that for me?" He paused and he said, "I'll drag her over to Oak Street. You can pick her up there." It's one of those nights, huh? Well, 911 certainly is a blessing to our needs in life. But we have a better than 911, and that's God Almighty is a prayer away. Life's trials surely go beyond the resources of 911. And God is always available to hear the call of one crying unto Him. He hears. I want us to consider the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. I believe that this call is to the unsaved and to the saved. Come to Jesus. The unsaved, obviously, for salvation. And the saved, once we're saved, that God could hear our cry for our daily needs, the trials and tribulations that come our way. The unsaved. You figure when Jesus spoke those words, the law was still in effect. And what do we know about the law? It was a schoolmaster to point us to the need of a Savior. So here they are under the burden of the law, and they can't do it. Right? That was the point of the law. You can't keep it. And it was to show the need of a Savior. We can't do it. We have to have one that could do it, Jesus Christ, who died in our place. It pointed us to the Savior. And now imagine how that's falling on their ears. Come unto me. Are you heavy laden? Are you under the weight of the law and you can't fulfill it? Yeah. Come. That's the whole point. Come to me for salvation. The law was to point you to me. And how that must have fallen on their ears. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Those words are spoken under the law. But salvation from Genesis to Revelation has always been by grace. And He is calling these people who are heavy and laden with the burdens of life and they cannot fulfill the law. Come unto me. I will give you rest. And to the saved, once they know Jesus Christ as their Savior, the spiritual opposition, the weaknesses of the flesh, the trials and tribulations of life, come to me. Keep coming to me. I will help you. I'll pull the yoke with you. I'll pull the yoke better yet for you. Come to me. Well, in a way, God has His own 911 system for us. Consider, again, the words of Jesus, Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Now think about this call. Take my yoke upon you. Learn. There are many things we don't know. All we know is come to Him. And we're going to find rest for our weary souls. The mental stress of life. The burdens. Well, tonight I hope to share with you, if I can use the expression, some 911 numbers to learn that you can come to Jesus and find help in the time of need. So with that, let's consider some emergency 911 numbers for us to call to find rest. Number one, call on God when you have sinned. And the weight of this sin is on you. Come unto me. 1 John 1:9. Learn this, Christian. This is talking to Christians. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As long as we walk this earth in these bodies, folks, we will sin. And God says, learn of me. Come. Come on. Tell me about it. I'll forgive you. I'll lift that burden off of you. We must confess. And confess it honestly and openly before God. He already knows. Tell Him the truth. He doesn't want anything less than a full confession. My fault. I did it. This is what I did. End of subject. And God says, I will give rest. Thank you, dear God. I will forgive your sins, and He goes a step further. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, or even the stuff you didn't even know. You forgot this sin and this sin and this sin. Okay, I get it. I'll forgive you of the sins you don't even know. That you say, but my sin is too great. Give me a break. God forgave David of adultery and murder. Have you done worse than that? Number two, 911 number for us. Lord, I'm facing danger. Whatever it may be, whatever it is in your life that is a danger, a burden that God is calling you and has allowed in your life for you to face. Lord, I need to call on you. In Psalm chapter 3, David wrote that when his son Absalom rebelled against him. In Psalm chapter 3, verse 4, just listen, you've got verse 6. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Get it. Psalm 3, 6. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Written by a man who committed adultery and murder. And he knew that God forgave him. And God will take care of me. Because God will cleanse you from all unrighteousness when you truly confess. You'll hear my cry. Yes, I will hear your cry. Number three. Here's an emergency number for you to call. Have you been betrayed by someone? Has a dear friend hurt you dearly? See, betrayal is different than just somebody offending you. This is someone who was precious. Someone you trusted. Someone you had confidence in. And you never saw it coming. And all of a sudden, you find out they said or did what? Again, we can look at David, betrayed by a close friend. Psalm 55:12. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked in the house of God in company. Many think that was written about Ahithophel when he joined the rebellion of David, but we don't know for sure. It sure seems like it. But no matter what, David had a sweet friend, counselor, they went to, can I use the modern expression, to church together? They went to the temple together. And that man turned on me. Oh, did it hurt? Let me quote. Dear Christian friend, let me say this to you. Turn your enemies over to God. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it's written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord, Romans 12:19. Turn over those who would betray you to the Lord. I was a pastor for over 40 years, and I feel I can speak about this subject with some experience and knowledge. I have found that the Lord does a better job in dealing with my enemies than I can. He knows just how to do it. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will take care of everything. What about you today? Further quote, what about me? How are we going to live in the world today? Are we going to hate people and criticize them for what they do to us? Are we going to cry when we are betrayed and wronged? No, let's start trusting in the Lord. That's the way out. When you've been betrayed, call on the Lord. How about this one? When your faith is weak. That is probably a regular occurrence when we get weak. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Claim the word of the Lord. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Underline it. For he is faithful that promised. Our faith may get weak, but facts don't change. God is on the throne. His word is sure. And he is faithful that promised. And of course, the Bible has many promises. When your faith is weak, cause it to drive you to the Lord. Remember facts, not emotions. Remember that God holds the stars in place. The sparrows don't worry and the hairs on your head are numbered, and God sent His Son to die for you. Remember the facts. Therefore, abandon your unsettled feelings, focus on the facts, and be settled in the truth. Number 5, call on the Lord when you feel alone and scared. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Key points. There will be times God will lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. God did it. And if God did it, He will lead you. He will see you. He will be with you through it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And so it is. There will come times in your life you will go through the valley of the shadow of death. I want you to get this. It says very clearly, yea, though I walk. We want to run through the valley of shadow of death and get out of there as fast as possible. And God says, no, walk with me. I will be by your side. And you know what? It is the valley of the shadow of death. It will be a time when you look around and it will be uncomfortable. And you will see death, if you will, around. This is not a pleasant place. And God says, I am with you. Slow down. We're going to walk. And I want you to get this. Yea, though I walk through. It doesn't say you're going to dwell there. You're going to go through it. You will come out the other side. It's only for a season. Do you feel alone and scared? Remember, for thou art with me. And God is there by your side in the valley of the shadow of death. Number 6, when you feel God is far away, I just don't feel close. First of all, beware of feelings. Feelings will betray you. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Why? Underline it, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Do you feel God isn't there? Did you know He's probably trying your faith? Don't throw in the towel. Stand strong and remember God will never leave you. It's a great promise. Remember what I said? I'm not going to leave you. I will be there. Quote, this promise is made to those who are patiently bearing affliction or persecution for Christ's sake, and may be applied to any faithful soul in affliction, temptation, or adversity of any kind. Trust in the Lord with thy whole heart, and never lean to thy own understanding, for he has said, no, I will never leave thee. I will never, never cast you off. I will not leave you. A great promise from God. Number 7. Another time for making, if I can use the expression, a 911 call to God when you're hurting. Lord, I hurt so bad I don't know what to do. Whatever the cause of your hurting may be. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus Christ as a man experienced the pain of this life, even unto the death of the cross. He experienced ingratitude, slander, insults, rejection, false accusation, unjust condemnation unto the cruel death of crucifixion. He understands. And sometimes when you have a problem and you go to someone, and there's nothing wrong with human comfort, but the truth is, if the person's never experienced it, they may not be able to comfort you as someone who did go through it. Jesus went through it. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Rather, he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Why? Because he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. This is precious. Verse 16, let us therefore, the conclusion, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Boldly! Lord God, it's me again. I need grace again. And he says, I feel your burden. I walk that earth as a man I know. And he can comfort. So take your burdens boldly to God. Number 8, precious number, when you doubt Christianity. Am I crazy? Is this for real? Is this a waste of time? Remember this, truth is truth. Do you ever get weak? God's word shall stand, Matthew 5:18, for verily, truthfully I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. God says, I will cherish my word, I will protect my word, I will fulfill my word. Down to the dotting of an I and the crossing of a T, I guard my word. Don't doubt what you read in the scriptures. God has cherished it, preserved it, and given it to us. Doubt your doubts. How do you like that one? Doubt your doubt. Get your thinking under control. Base your thoughts on the Word of God, and remember, no matter what, God's Word shall stand. Number 9. You want another one? When to call on God? When you lack peace. Isaiah 26:3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Anchor your thinking on God. The things of this earth will pass away. Do you know one thing that's for sure in this life? Change. That's for sure. Everything else is going to change. Except change. Change will never change. There'll always be change. Creation. You lack peace? Walk outside, look out at nature, look in the sky, and remember, God was there before this earth and the heavens were there. God was powerful enough to create this world and all therein. He's wise enough to establish the laws that govern this creation, and he has given us his word for understanding. What more does he have to do to prove that he's there to give you peace? Trust in God. Number 10. You want to know when to call on God? Are you afraid of flying? Some people are. Mark 4:41, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? When you're 36,000 feet up in the air, God's in control of the air. Yeah, I know that, but I'm in a man-made plane. Trust God. The disciples were in a man-made ship, too. And he said, don't worry about it. I'm controlling the wind and the waves. You see, actually, the idea of the wind and the waves being under control of God extends to many things. God controls hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, and other natural disasters. He controls the air and the technology that allows planes to fly. He controls everything. By the way, are you afraid that you're going to die in a plane crash? Let me tell you what, God doesn't need a plane to take you home if it's your turn. You can be asleep in bed and you aren't going to go. He doesn't need an airplane. You may as well sit back and relax and enjoy the flight. God's in control. Stop worrying. Number 11, when else can we call on God? When you need courage. Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee. That is the smallest animal mentioned in the Bible. The wicked flee. Sorry. Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee. And I'll never read that without laughing. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Courage is found in righteousness. When you have established your life, that you know, listen, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I've made my mistakes. I surely have a long way to go, but I know this. My life is grounded before God, and I have lived my life such that I can stand boldly right now. And it gives you a confidence the world will never know. Courage is found in righteousness. The righteous are bold as a lion. In those days, they would have better understood. They would have seen lions. Yeah, we go see them in the zoo, and they're laying there. Go out in the wilderness and see one in nature. That's the kind of boldness that a Christian can have. You see, when we have sin, it robs us of strength. Therefore, base your life on righteousness and watch what God can do, giving you courage. If you want to read a little bit more, take Joshua chapter 1, where Joshua is commissioned to take the place of Moses. And every place that your foot shall step, that's going to be yours. Go in strength. But he tells him to obey and make sure he tends to the law, that righteousness will be with him. Number 12. When else should you call on God? When you're worried about money. Matthew 6:31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. In the context, he's talking to the Jews, and he's contrasting them with the Gentiles, the unbelievers. Your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of all these things. Here it is. Are you worried about money? Seek first the kingdom of God. Doesn't that seem strange? No, you don't understand, Lord. I need a second job. He says, would you put righteousness first? But I need a job. I know what you need. Seek me first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Put God first. Paul wrote to Timothy, in chapter 6, verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. The stock market goes up, the stock market goes down. The housing market goes up, the housing market goes down. And God says, I am not slave to the stock market or the economy. I will take care of you if you put your faith in me, seek me first. Did you know that long ago Jesus Christ multiplied the fish and loaves and he can still do it today? And when you look in your checkbook and you say, dear God, mathematically this doesn't work. And he says, you're right. You only have a few fish and loaves. Trust me and you're going to marvel how it all worked out. That's the God we serve. He can still multiply the fish and loaves. The 13th reason why we can call on God, are you losing hope? Dear God, I have been in this trial long enough. It just seems to get worse and worse. I'm getting weak. My heart is sick. My thinking is flawed. I'm confessing it, dear God. Here I am. And he said to Jeremiah in chapter 32, verse 27, behold, pay attention. Think about this one. I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And no one yet has come up with anything that's too hard for God. And God is not in heaven wringing his hands hoping we don't figure it out. He says, there is nothing too hard for me. It's a rhetorical question. It doesn't need an answer. It's an answer within itself. No, there's nothing too hard for God. No man has ever discovered something that's too hard for God. No man ever will find something that's too hard for God. Whatever your problem is, it's not too hard for God. Have hope. And our last one tonight, in our list of things to call God, are you ready for this one? Are you worried and unsettled and don't even know why? You just wake up in the middle of the night troubled. Or you walk around with a cloud over your head, and to be honest, if you were to really say it, I don't know why. You may as well be honest. Look what David wrote. Psalm 42:5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you discouraged? Why art thou disquieted in me? He couldn't even put his finger on it. I like this. David asked a question. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? He's talking to himself. Why art thou disquieted in me? He asks a question, then he answers it. Hope thou in God. And when it's all done, you're probably going to go, I don't know what that was all about. But I was really troubled. And I just settled myself with God. We live in a sin-sick world. God knows we're made of the dust of the ground. Praise God he remembers our frame. We're made of dust. Let me conclude with a little story of George Mueller on the goodness of God. We have looked at 14 reasons to call upon God, and he is good. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Here's the story of George Mueller, most famously known, of course, for his orphanage, but this story is about the death of his wife. How do you feel about the goodness of God when you are facing a particularly difficult time? George Mueller's response was quite amazing. Mueller's wife Mary died of rheumatic fever on February 6, 1870. They had been married 39 years and 4 months. She was 64 years old. Shortly after the funeral, he was strong enough to preach a funeral sermon, as he called it. What text would he choose when God had taken his beloved? He chose Psalm 119:68. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. His 3 points were, 1, the Lord was good and did good in giving her to me. Point 2, the Lord was good and did good in so long leaving her to me. 3, the Lord was good and did good in taking her from me. Under this 3rd point, he recounts how he prayed for her illness during this time. Yes, my Father, the times of my darling wife are in thy hands. Thou wilt do the very best thing for her and for me, whether life or death. It may be, raise her up again, my precious wife. Thou art able to do it, though she is so ill. But howsoever thou dealest with me, only help me to continue to be perfectly satisfied with thy holy will. This is an amazing prayer from an amazing man, and yet he would stand before you even today and say that he was an ordinary man with an extraordinary God. You have the same God who will help you go to him when you need strength. Thus, tonight we have looked at 14 different reasons to call on God, and the list could go on and on and on. But when you're troubled, when you're burdened, turn to the Lord. He's ever ready to hear your cry, and he will give you rest.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.